Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, folks. Coffee Break Radio. This is Sheila Hardin, and we're here in Southern California. And the weather is not so beautiful. It's gray and kind of cloudy, but it's nice and cool, which is a great change. And I am super excited to hear what the gal we're going to talk to today has to say. But before that, I want to give you a little fast food. Proverbs 25:11. Timely advice is as lovely as gold apples in a silver basket. Isn't that the truth? Don't you just love it when you ask for advice and somebody gives it to you and it turns out to be absolutely the right thing? And you know who always does that, don't you? Our Lord. Yay for that. I'd like to introduce this morning Sally Whitmer, who I met through my church. She's been involved in prayer up at the front of the church with individuals. She was a co-founder of something called Restorative Prayer, which was a series of sessions with several prayer people praying with individuals, and is now an associate Christian counselor. So I thought it would be interesting to hear from her about what the difference is between just being prayed for or having deeper forms of prayer or Christian counseling. How are they different? How are they alike? And when would be the best time to seek out each one? So Sally, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here, Sheila. And I'm laughing because I'm sitting looking outside at the gray and just being so grateful for the rain. We have rain.
Yay.
So just, yeah, grateful to God for life and for growth and gardens. So I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, we're happy you're here. So talk to us a little bit about the different forms of prayer that can happen in church circles, and then when you reach out outside of the church environment to Christian counselors, how are they different, how are they alike, and which one is best for what kind of situation?
That's a good question. I think, I like to think of it as a range, and it's funny, I think I've mentioned this to you, that sometimes I'll get challenged by people who will read scripture and say, you know, where is there a grid biblically for inner healing prayer, for, when you look at the book of Acts where Jesus spoke it and healing happened instantly. And I like to think of prayer ministry and counseling is more on a range of discipleship where Jesus walked with his people for a while and sowed into, you know, how he does it with us still, that he walks with us and it takes time to mature and to transform. And yes, we see all these miracles that God does instantly, but if you look at scripture and you look at the world around us, mostly, God is the Lord of the process, and so we need to develop systems that happen over time of drawing near to God, and through that process of drawing near, getting the insights and the revelations that we need that transform us on the inside. So I think it's a really good question. I haven't answered it yet. I know in my own life there were moments of crisis where I was stuck, where a broken trust, stuff that happened maybe when I was a child, had really gotten me stuck in an area where I just wasn't maturing in that place, where if I got triggered, I would have a response that didn't have any fruit of the Spirit, you know, just was fearful or anxious or angry, and I needed to go to somebody to pray with me, to ask the Holy Spirit to show me what is going on, why am I stuck here. And so I'm a big fan of inner healing prayer. That's how I really got unstuck, in places where I carried a lot of anxiety for much of my life. And that's what led me to co-found with a partner the Restorative Prayer Ministry. But the more I did restorative prayer and I did see God do very dramatic things with people that were instant moments of healing where they would have a stuck place be revealed by God and they would have the insight and the wisdom and the knowledge from God on what do we need to hand to God like a child for him to replace that stuck place with something new from him, with his truth. But the more I did it, the more I saw, boy, people really need people to walk with them through the process, and really felt drawn. I had started out getting my degree years and years ago to do counseling, and then just having a family and just the cares of life, I never pursued it fully. I never got my license. And so recently, as my kids launched, it felt like time to go back and get the actual therapist license to walk with people on the journey of really finding freedom and getting unstuck and just finding that they can, spirit, soul, and body, be aligned with the Holy Spirit and live a life of joy and freedom even in a crazy world.
Now, how is Christian counseling different from secular counseling?
That's a really good question, because I would like to say I do both. Like I'm actually working in a couple different places. I work for a church, but then I also work for a nonprofit. And in nonprofit settings, I get who I get. And what I really felt like was happening for me a few years ago when the pandemic set in and the shutdown happened and the world faced a lot of upheaval, I felt like I was getting a call to go outside the walls of the church and to bring Jesus to people who don't know him, who aren't ready, you know, just aren't ready for traditional Christianity, but they're searching. And so I feel like there's really not a whole lot of difference if you as a counselor are spending time with God and refilling every day in his presence, then we can go to people who don't have faith yet and just bring the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, just bring, you know, it's really kind of a form of gentle evangelism. And so I would say not all my clients are believers, but when I have a believer who asks me to pray with them, It's completely different in that we can intentionally bring the Lord into it and intentionally pray. And of course that accelerates everything. But I don't limit it.
Things go faster and more complete.
Mhm. Yeah, they do.
Wow.
They do. Yeah. Yeah, there's a dramatic difference when someone is open. But I've learned not to let that be a barrier, because I'm watching people slowly over time. You know, they respond to love. They respond to someone being willing to sit and listen and love them unconditionally, and change still happens.
Mm. Now, the longer, the restorative prayer, was that just a one-time session, or was that several times in a row? How is that different than
Christian
counseling or prayer?
That's a good question. So we started out, we studied all the most prominent inner healing ministries. So we went to Sozo, we went to, Emmanuel Prayer is one of the foundational ones. There's another one, a guy by the name of Ed Smith, who started a ministry that changed names. It's now called Transformation Prayer. There's a couple foundational ones. And those ministries tend to emphasize, you don't go often. You go once, you have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, and then maybe you go a few months later, but you don't keep going over and over. And so we started out doing that, and it is interesting that when we started out, and even today, you know, it's such a leap of faith for all included, you know, for both the people doing the ministry and the people coming to take mm-hmm. that leap of faith that we can really believe we are going to hear the voice of God. We're going to experience the Holy Spirit directing where to go and what needs to be focused on and what is he saying versus what may just be us. And so when we started, we did adhere to those foundational ministries teaching that you just go once and then you allow a lot of time and go back, but you don't keep going. And mm-hmm. what I found was there were a good number of people where that was all they needed. But then there were, you know, I'd say 50% who fell away and they got any healing or insight that they received snatched back because they weren't walking it out. They weren't in a habit of sitting with God and letting him have the junk and emptying and refilling with when I say refilling with his truth, it's more than just a thing, truth. It's the person of Jesus, the person of truth. And so many people just don't have the practices down, and it's so easily snatched away. So to me, that's the difference with counseling.
When you talk about the practices, what specifically is that?
Well, I think, you know, it used to be a given, you know, having a daily time where you sit and quiet yourself and empty of all the junk, empty of all the inner noise and refill, you know, meditate on scripture and ask God to make himself clear to you in scripture. Just be still and listen for his voice. And that's really in our noisy world. For so many believers, it's just not a practice anymore. And it does feel like we live in such a chaotic time that for so many, they're facing, you know, traumas big and little. And what I mean by that is, you know, a lot of people might not have ever lived through a war or lived through, you know, some kind of violence, but they're seeing it every day on the news. There's all the little T traumas of broken trust. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so many of us have so much broken trust before we were age 10 that's really affected places where we don't trust God fully. Mm-hmm. And it's not conscious, it's not intentional, but those little pockets of broken trust really affect us in our daily walk with God and affect our ability to be free of anxiety, free of fear and control. And so for some people, it's a walking it out process, mm-hmm. and the inner healing prayer can do dramatic revelation and reconnection to God. But what I find is quite a number of people need someone to come beside them and help them walk it out for a little bit longer.
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking previous generations having a daily relationship with the Lord or even a connection at all was so much more prevalent. It was a
yeah.
bigger part of society. It was a bigger part of daily life, particularly rural communities. Church was the center of everything. So,
yes.
And as our culture has become more secularized, I can see
yes.
why people would not. They almost have to be really trained and taught how
yes.
to live that way.
Yeah.
And unless someone is willing to kind of walk with them and help them with that, they're very much at sea.
Exactly. Exactly. And it feels to me like in the church itself, we've seen such a shift where emotional maturity just doesn't keep pace with spiritual maturity, if that makes sense. And I know the two are intertwined, but I see there are books even being written about the lack of emotional maturity in church leadership. And I feel like that's a passion for me, seeing people keep pace with their spiritual growth, understanding what they need to do emotionally to find healing and freedom and growth to be a whole person.
And the whole issue of hidden addiction, I mean, once a person's involved in addiction, their ability to mature emotionally just disappears. They're stuck with wherever that started. So until that's dealt with, they, you know, it's almost impossible.
Yep. There's a guy I'd love to put on your radar by the name of Jim Wilder, and he's a Christian psychologist who studied the work. It's so amazing to me how what's going on in brain science right now that's just confirming what we believe as Christians, what the Bible tells us about whole person health and spirit, soul, and body. It's fascinating to me what they're finding. And Jim Wilder has done a lot of study on relational brain skills, and he talks about what we need as children, how God has designed us as children for our brains to develop. And the first two things children need to develop before age two is healthy attachment, which, of course, we hear a lot about in secular science. But he takes that and looks at how God has wired us to need that healthy interaction that parents do and caregivers do with babies to develop that joy to be together. And that's like the first part of the brain that's developing in the limbic system with attachment. And that following that, the second thing that we need to learn that parents and caregivers teach their babies is self-quieting. So kind of that rhythm between the joy to be together and the interacting and the playing that people instinctively do with babies, it builds their brains. But it also sets us up to be able to receive from God, to understand and have the capacity that God is delighted to be with us and that sense of presence. And then the second part is that self-quieting. And it's so often, if those things don't develop, and he's got a whole list of other brain development, of relational brain skills we need to develop, when we don't develop the brain in that way to be relational, then we have our relational circuits don't develop properly, and we go into what he calls enemy mode. And it's so much of what we're seeing in our world and seeing in our churches, you know, in terms of people who are not secure, who are not completely connected to Jesus across the board. And of course, we all, you know, we all have places of disconnection that need healing, but it's so amazing how God has wired us to find healing in him and find the peace and the reconciliation that he brings. So I think I'm rambling. I'm sorry if I derailed us.
No, this is it's very interesting information, and I think it's important information. And developing those, quote, practices of spending time with the Lord and really having a relationship where you're talking to him and you're hearing back from him.
Yep.
And doing that on a regular basis is a way of healing all that.
Yep. Yeah, and it's interesting in this time in history because we are becoming such a post-God society, and it's interesting to me to see how God is making himself not known outside the walls of church and how the trend right now on mindfulness, how God can be found there, that he's just, if the front door is closed to him, how he makes it in through the windows and the back door. And it's just been very interesting to me to talk to people who don't at this time have a faith, and yet they're practicing mindfulness and they're starting to discover the ways of God. It's just been interesting to witness.
They're searching. They don't know Absolutely. They're searching, but they're searching.
Yeah.
And you know, that if the door's closed, the window is open and there are other doors, really speaks to the issue of people that don't feel that long-term prayer is helpful. You can't decide how God's going to work. He's going to work.
Right.
It's
right.
his decision. He figures it out.
Exactly.
Why should we even pretend to decide how he's got to do it?
Exactly. And you look at how one of my favorite phrases, and I still have not found the author. If you find the author, I'd love to know, is the phrase, God loves harmony, not unison. And I just love that idea when we look at the range. Like, you look at the range across Scripture of the characters that God used, and they're all so different. And it's so obvious to me that God loves the differences that he's created.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy named Samuel Whitefield, and he works, he's been teaching, I think he's at the Bethel School of Transformation. I don't think he's a staff person there, but he's somebody that they use in their training programs for life coaches or spiritual, I think they call it spiritual practice life coaches. I mean, mm-hmm. the School of Transformation has a huge, or Center for Transformation has a huge range from inner healing and SOZO to counseling.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Jason Valentin over there, and I think Margaret Nagib is another one. But I think it was a different guy named Samuel Whitefield who was talking recently about the process, and that we have to be careful not to limit the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. to the dramatic moments, because, yes, there's lots of dramatic moments in the Bible, but if you look at the whole of Scripture, there's many things that God seems to value doing gradually over time. And, you know, you look at how he doesn't just give us truth or plop it into our heads. He leads us into it and trains us over time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's the time factor. And, you mm-hmm. know, you think about the people that want instant, instant healing, instant this, instant that. If they had it, would they be able to handle it? Maybe
That's
the
such
whole
a good
time
question.
Thing. Maybe the whole time thing is about getting us ready to deal with what's next. Getting us ready.
I think that's beautiful.
Yeah.
And if
I hate it. I hate it when hosts talk over the guests.
No.
Anyway, when you think about, now I've lost the thought, so go ahead.
No, go.
We're really, I have. I'm serious. It's gone. It'll come back again.
Okay. Well, I think, as Samuel Whitefield says, because we tend to emphasize the dramatic and the instant, we sometimes completely overlook much of the work of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a popular song right now, I think Hillsong came out with, that's talking about seasons. And it says at one point, you could have saved us instantly, and instead you sent a child. And I think just that alone, just the illustration of Jesus being sent as a baby and just the process, there's so much beauty in it. And I think that's something, this is going down another rabbit trail, but when we talk about beauty, I think that's something that I really have grown to appreciate in looking around and seeing who's doing effective work, what believers are outside the walls of the church effectively ministering to people and bringing transformation, and not all the people coming to them are necessarily believers at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a guy by the name, another person I'd like to put on your radar, by the name of Kurt Thompson, who's a Christian psychiatrist, and he talks about how the process of finding God, you know, that he doesn't worry anymore about that traditional, you know, so many of us grew up with this traditional mindset of you've got to go out and be a witness and, you know,
mm-hmm.
the hardline witnessing,
mm-hmm.
and that he's found the Holy, in his work, that the Holy Spirit is so gentle in revealing himself to people in a process over time. And one of the things that he does is he'll get people with really hardcore diagnoses like schizophrenia. And if somebody comes to him with a hard diagnosis, the first thing he wants them to do is lay it down and not label themselves by that terrible thing, not define themselves by the problems in their lives. And so he'll send people to art museums and say, I want you to go sit and find something beautiful and just dwell on it. And his beautiful reasoning is that when people go and dwell on beauty, they're going to encounter the Holy Spirit, because that's who beauty is all about. Him. He is the author, and
mm-hmm.
they're going to find all of his attributes as they sit and dwell on beauty. And over time, it's going to bring transformation. They're going to encounter God over time.
That's lovely. That's really lovely. So he's speaking to the heart of the person.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's really lovely. So what situation would you recommend people just going up and getting prayer at church? And what situation would you recommend inner healing prayer, the ones that are a couple of sessions? And what would you recommend Christian counseling for?
That's a good question. I think I would always recommend going up for prayer, asking for prayer. I think that anytime we're facing hard things, we should ask others to pray for us. And I know that my own experience in the churches that I've been a part of, there's so many beautiful people who are spending time with God, who've experienced breakthrough in their own lives and experienced you know, sometimes very dramatic healing, that it's, we should always start there and ask for prayer. And then if that's not enough, if that's just a beginning place, then to go ahead and seek out an inner healing ministry and see if a few times that facilitation to get the barriers out of the way, to be able to connect more directly with God, that's a great next step. And I'm living proof of that, where inner healing that I experienced in my life is what sparked the passion to co-found a ministry, because it did do dramatic shifts in my life that reconnected me to God in places where I was stuck. But again, if there's been such a pile up of broken trust or systems in place that are just keeping us stuck in areas, then for sure don't be afraid to seek out a therapist or a counselor. And, you know, there's so many good programs out there and so many good Christian counselors, to not be afraid of that.
Now, do you have resources that you can recommend to people or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, is there a way people can contact you to get that information, or
sure,
or you could send it to me and we could put it up on the website.
Sure, we can do both. So
okay.
Let me mention a few people that it would be really good for people to Google, because they're very accessible. The first one is Carl Lehman, Lehman, and his ministry is called Emmanuel Prayer. And what I love about him is he says Jesus isn't a tool, or Emmanuel isn't a tool. So he's a psychiatrist who came around to believing all he wants to do is connect people to the person of Jesus, just get everything else out of the way. He laid down all his psychological tools and just prays with people to reconnect them. And so it's very simple and very powerful. So Emmanuel Prayer is number one. And then he's involved in an inner healing symposium that's happening. And so if people Google him and the phrase inner healing symposium, he's pulling together all the heavy hitters in inner healing ministry. So Donna De Silva of Sozo at Bethel, Thrive Ministries. I'm trying to think of what some of the other big ones are, but there's a whole list of people who are deeply involved at the forefront of inner healing ministry, and they're all going to be together. And I think it's November 17th. It'll be a YouTube live streaming event. And there's so many at this point. I think it's growing, but there are so many people that can be accessed. The Bethel School of Transformation, or I keep saying school, I don't mean school, it's the Center for Transformation. Jason Valatin, who is Chris Valatin's son, is a really wise voice, and people can Instagram him. There's also a woman by the name of Margaret Nagib, N-A-G-I-B, who is at the forefront of Christian counseling. and kind of brings inner healing into her counseling. I wanted to say, too, I mean, I do bring inner healing into counseling with anybody who's open. And, you know, just the range. God is just so wise in the way that he uses a range. But, boy, when people are open.
Yeah,
and then people can email me directly if they want to. And I'll give you my email address, and you can I can send you all these resources too. But it's ENVOL ENVOL 3000 at gmail.com.
And is it case sensitive, capital letters or no?
It's lowercase ENVOL 3000. Yeah.
Okay, at gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much, Sally, for being with us today. This has been just a wonderful conversation and a lot of information.
Well, it's always a pleasure to talk with you, Sheila. I just appreciate your wisdom and your balance so much.
Well, thank you. That's lovely, and I so appreciate our time together, and we'll speak to you soon. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.